Hello and welcome back to the Ear Fuel Podcast. As always, I'm Joel Freemark, and you can follow me on Twitter at @GetEarFuel and at The Daily Guru. The podcast is always available in the iTunes and Google Play stores under Ear Fuel and at GetEarFuel.com. This week, I am going to discuss songs of protest and rebellion because, well, I mean, do I really need to explain why? Really? Yeah. Anyway, before we get into that, a quick album review. The album I want to check out today is the brand new one from Julie Byrne, and it's called Not Even Happiness. This is her second record, and I was very much a fan of her 2014 debut, which was called Rooms with Walls and Windows. For more on that one, check out my YouTube review under the name The Daily Guru. Now, I'll be honest, this record had me hooked from the very first notes. It doesn't happen very often, but as soon as the opening guitar progression began, I said to myself, oh yeah, this is gonna be good. At its core, this album is just one acoustic guitar and Julie's magnificent voice. There are small instrumental and atmospheric touches here and there, but it stays rather simplistic in a good way, actually in a very good way. From the top of this album, it is incredibly intimate. At times it feels as if you're just sitting on her living room floor while she's playing. It's that ability to create and nurture such a mood, but at the same time make the songs feel very full. Well, I mean, it's just a very tough balance to find, and this record finds it throughout the entire half-hour runtime. There's just this beautiful resonance in both her voice and the guitar that, I don't know, they kind of shimmer across the record, but in a very strong way. It's that slight reverb that surrounds you and makes this a very special sonic experience. Again, the opening track, such a great way to start things off, and the lyrics, oh, the lyrics on this record are just magnificent. You know what? Here's a quick clip from the song Follow My Voice.
To me, this city's hell, but I know you.
Honestly, the 1-2 punch of the opening two tracks are going to be tough to top this year. The second song, Sleepwalker, it just might be my favorite on the album. The way that Julie's voice contrasts with the finger picking is one of those perfect musical pairings that forces a smile on your face. Again, a fantastic lyric, and it's almost like the first song is a winter or a fall feeling, while the second's, I don't know, it's the way that winter melts into spring. It makes sense to me in my head. Just check out the album. But atmosphere is one of the biggest pluses to this album. From the almost dusty sunset of Morning Dove, to the enchanting tones of Sea As It Glides, to the somewhat holy feel of I Live Now As a Singer, she is able to deploy her approach in a range that keeps the album fresh and at a good pace.
In the kingdom of twilight, in spirit and light, heat carries across me on the breeze.
Now, I want to take a moment to get back to her lyrics, as Julie Byrne certainly has a way with words. The song All the Land Glimmers, man, I had to go back to this lyric a few times, and it might be my favorite lyric on the album. The words can be interpreted in a number of different ways, and I think they're going to hit some people like a brick wall. Absolutely lovely wording. Really, I can't emphasize enough just how talented a lyricist we have here.
I crossed the country and I carried no key. Couldn't I look up at the stars from anywhere?
There's really nothing I didn't like about this record. It's got this cool warmth to it, and it's got just enough darkness, but the light is there as well. I guess it kind of keeps coming back to that one word, balance. I can't say enough how much I thoroughly enjoyed this record, to the point that after my first playthrough, I went and bought the vinyl, and that almost never happens. But this record, it just connected with me, so go do your ears a favor and check it out, and then go over to Julie M. Byrne, that's B-Y-R-N-E, .bandcamp.com, and snag yourself a copy. Moving on. Man, the world is a pretty damn tense place these days, right? I mean, I feel like I have John Lennon's voice in my head singing,
I remember read the news today, oh boy.
And I'm hearing it 24/7. It's palpable. Now, I'm not going to get overly political here, but I feel like people need the right music these days to help them get through their frustrations and anxiety, or, you know, the tunes to fuel their fury. And that is right up my alley. There's that phrase a wiser man than myself once said, and that's sort of where we're headed this week. I'm going to give you some songs, artists, and albums that I feel fit a handful of different reasons people are getting their rebellion on these days. From women's rights, to the environment, to corporate greed, to just being mad at our current reality, there is a song out there for every frustration. And we're going to dig into many of those you know, and some of them that you need to know. But let me get one thing out of the way. I'm going to assume that everybody knows Rage Against the Machine, and everybody knows This Land Is Your Land. They're always good places to start, but I want to spread that rebel love around a little bit more. Now, I know a lot of people think that protest songs sort of hit their high and low points during the years around the Vietnam War, and while it's hard to deny that many of the best protest anthems came into existence during those years, struggles across the globe have kept such music alive and well since the earliest recorded music existed. And let's be honest, songs of defiance, rebellion, and protest, yeah, those go back to the beginning of civilization itself. But we're going to talk about recorded music here, and there are tons of amazing songs of rebellion to be found in every genre and every era. You see, that's the other part most people forget. You don't have to be loud and shouting to get your point across. From Billie Holiday to, I don't know, the Evens, the past century of music is filled with tons of examples of songs that caused revolution without having to have everything cranked up to 11. And you know what? Maybe Billie Holiday is a good place to start this conversation. Now, I know tons of people have at least heard her song Strange Fruit referenced, and as recently as a few weeks ago, one of the people invited to perform at Donald Trump's inauguration said they would do so only if they could sing this song. I actually laughed when I heard her statement, as almost a century after it was written, Strange Fruit remains one of the most unapologetic commentaries on racism that the world has ever known. Written in 1939, the song is pretty brutal, using a very obvious metaphor of people who were lynched and hanged in trees represented by the title of the song. Here, check it out.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Now, this song caused a ton of stir, but it actually has a few very interesting stories attached to it. When Billie Holiday was introduced to the song, she was already a regular performer at Cafe Society, which was New York's first racially integrated nightclub. And this is 1939, so that's pretty far ahead of its time. Anyway, due to the nature of this song, Billie and the club's owner kinda had to agree on a few ground rules before she was allowed to perform it. First, it would be the final song of the evening, but during the performance, the waiters would stop all service on the floor and all of the lights in the venue would be turned off, save a single spotlight on Billie Holiday's face. Also, no encore. This song was meant to hit hard and be a very strong statement, and there was nothing that could follow it. After a short period of performing it on stage, she wanted to record the song, but her label at the time, Columbia Records, yeah, they wouldn't even consider it due to the negative reaction it would undoubtedly garner from radio stations and record retailers in the South. Yet Billie Holiday knew the importance of getting this song out into the world, so she approached her friend Milt Gabler, who owned Commodore Records. He agreed to do it, and they managed to get Columbia Records to grant her a one-session release from her contract. Oh, yeah, and the opening piano on the recording is actually an improvisation. Really, when they sat down to do this, Gabler felt that the song was too short, so he just had the pianist improvise. Regardless, the track remains legendary for so many reasons. Now, keeping with the idea that great songs of protest don't have to be super loud, don't worry, we're going to get to those. Almost a century later, one of the best writers of songs of defiance of the past few decades took his craft to a softer sound, in a way. If the name Ian MacKaye doesn't ring a bell with you, He's the founder of Discord Records, along with founding both Minor Threat and Fugazi. Both of those bands have catalogs full of songs that go against the grain, but when he represents one half of the band The Evens, he harnesses the power of his words in a stripped-down setting. The capital, it is your playground now, your center red. You and yours, you keep your score. Washington is our city. Whether he's taking aim at the government, police brutality, street muggings, corporate greed, or even absentee club owners and rude venue staff, every song across their three albums has a very clear point and purpose. One of my favorite moments from their most recent record, 2012's The Odds, is the song Wanted Criminals. The track is a brilliant commentary on the police state and public paranoia, and the repeated line of, "What if every single person was a deputy?" Yeah, it rings loud across a land hell-bent on the idea that if you see something, say something, and where anything out of the ordinary must be a hidden terrorist operation.
Need a job, 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 need a job. People need something to do, they're getting angry. So the bosses came up with a hell of a plan. Security job for each and every man. More alligators for their boots, keep them hungry.
Now, I could keep going with The Evens, as songs like Dinner with the President, Mount Pleasant Isn't, Competing with the Till, yeah, they're outstanding in every sense of the word. But instead, if you dug the clips you just heard, dive into any of their three albums. You will not be disappointed. And you know what? Since I mentioned them and we're already discussing Ian MacKaye, let's take a second on Minor Threat and Fugazi, as they are two of the most important bands of rebellion of their generation. And it'll also help us get to the louder songs I wanted to discuss today. Minor Threat didn't last long, but I think when you're a band putting out music that intense and in such large amounts, it's inevitable. Their songs are unapologetic reflections of the ills that they see in society and their struggles with not fitting in, and this yields some of the finest lyrical moments in the hardcore catalog. If you couldn't decipher Ian's vocals there, the lines are, "You see me and you laugh out loud, taunt me from safe inside your crowd. My looks, they must threaten you to make you act like the way you do." Yeah, 1981. Granted, he was talking about the punk and hardcore scene, but it's very easy to apply those words to pretty much every alienated corner of our society. And the advantage you get with a band like Minor Threat is the energizing, unrelenting drive and pace of the songs. I get that punk and hardcore aren't for everyone. I do, really. But when there's that much passion behind a song, I mean, it's gonna get you pumped and focused and angry, but in good ways. From songs like I Don't Wanna Hear It, to Guilty of Being White, to Good Guys Don't Wear White, to Out of Step, there's not a second anywhere in the Minor Threat catalog that doesn't have a fierce purpose, and that carried over a number of years later into Fugazi, where songs like Merchandise and Five Corporations showed a more mature writer and musician, but refused to let the importance of music of rebellion take a back seat. But hardcore and rock are hardly the only places to find music that keeps a fist and a middle finger in the air. Let's take a look at some hip-hop rebellion. Now, at some level, hip-hop music in itself is a protest. Even from its earlier days, it was a pushback against a system that didn't represent the inner cities and a musical mainstream that was uninteresting to many of the same groups. But in a more formal sense, well, there's always NWA, right? While we all know their track, Fuck the Police, the track Express Yourself is one of their finest moments that gets overlooked. Expressing myself, it's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go. They know others say rhymes but fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Some musicians cuss at home but scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality. All across this track, Dr. Dre takes aim at censorship, drug culture, and many of the problems he saw in the late 80s urban culture. In fact, most of the Straight Outta Compton record is a rallying cry from an ignored group, In many ways, kind of like what Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye did in the 70s, but with more ferocity and a lot more swearing. More recently, Run the Jewels have taken aim at countless issues in society, with Killer Mike becoming an unexpected political commentator of sorts. And when I reviewed their new album a few weeks ago, one of my frustrations was that there weren't more politically motivated tracks on the album. But the song Talk to Me certainly had its moments.
We return from the depths of the bad man, with a gun and a knife and a waistband, with the war with the devil and Shaytan. He wore a bad toupee and a spray tan, so high now hoping that I land, on a tie stick moving through Thailand. On the radio heard a plane hijacked, government did that like they could crack.
Now, one of the issues with hip-hop is that oftentimes the lyrics are a bit more difficult to follow for people, and sometimes the slang and wordplay can be a bit confusing. But trust me when I say that within the world of hip-hop, the sentiment is just as ferocious, and the want for change might even be more urgent. I mean, for me, the ideal balance within the hip-hop genre hit record shelves all the way back in June of 1989, when Public Enemy released their iconic single, Fight the Power. Every second of this song is packed with perfectly targeted lyrical brilliance as Chuck D opens by destroying the notion that the United States has achieved racial equality, which much of the country was actually living under the illusion of, really. That is to say, people felt racism had been largely, I don't know, solved? Anyway, Chuck nails it with the line, quote, "People, people, we are the same. No, we're not the same, because we don't know the game." Later, he says that the key to the success of his culture is awareness and education, and that coming together as a community is essential to moving forward. But for me, it's the third verse that I think should be enshrined as one of the greatest moments in the history of lyrics. Chuck D absolutely unleashes on iconic entertainers, exposing many truths in just a few sentences and dropping one of my favorite lines ever.
Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. Yes, he's straight out racist. The sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucker, you mean John Wayne?
Cause I'm black and I'm proud.
Already
I'm hyped cause I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear on no stamp.
Man, most of my heroes don't appear on no stamp. Amazing. And that song still hits as hard as ever. Whatever your rallying cry might be, that track has you covered. Speaking of just what your rally might be about, I want to note two songs that are absolutely essential with the women's rights we see being attacked left and right these days.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bondage! Up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4!
The great polystyrene and x-ray specs right there for you, ripping their classic track, Oh, Bondage, Up Yours. Now, that was originally just a single, but it does show up on the bonus versions of the Germ-Free Adolescence album, which is well worth knowing. But that track in particular is something behind iconic. Punk rock has very few female heroes within it, so her shout there resonates on many levels. The song is in your face, unapologetic, and yet also catchy as hell, which is really the magic of X-ray specs. Man, I love that band. Get that record. Seriously, go get it. We've talked about it before. But I get it. So many songs of rebellion are by lesser-known or at least non-superstar acts, right? Where are the big ones? Where's the mainstream? Oh, yeah, there's this one. Remember?
What you need is a big strong hand to lift you to your higher ground. Make you feel like a queen on a throne. Make you love you till you can't calm down.
Yep. Madonna, in 1989, giving a strong message to women across the globe. I know it might be hard to feel it's as powerful with that brilliant dance pop sound behind it or Madonna's unmistakable voice, but you can argue that when it comes to gender equality, this was one of the most important songs simply due to those exact same reasons. Madonna herself said of the song, quote, "If you don't express yourself, if you don't say what you want, then you're not gonna get it." Right on the money there. And if you really want to see the power of the song and performance, hit YouTube and track down her Video Music Awards performance from 89. Absolutely one of the best. All right, we're in the home stretch here, as there are two performers I've purposefully been saving for last because, well, because their catalogs are filled with songs of rebellion and standing up for what's right. The first of them...
You have the right. Try it. Know your rights.
the only band that mattered, folks, The Clash. They were the band that really brought issues into the light and, I don't know, tried to solve something with punk rock instead of just being angry at everything. Yeah, I don't know. And I will admit, I'm a bit biased as they're my favorite band ever, but you can't deny the intent and the purpose within their songs. Whether they were taking on corporate radio with the track Capital Radio 1, birth control issues on Lover's Rock, race relations on White Riot, or xenophobia and nationalism on Clampdown, The Clash were going to get you learned. Wait, what? What'd you say? You're not familiar with Clampdown? Ah, no problem. I will solve that for you right now. Now, if you missed the line, he says, quote, "We will teach our twisted speech to the young believers. We will train our blue-eyed men to be young believers." And yes, it opened with lines about being scared of people wearing turbans and from the Middle East. Sometimes it's a little bit chilling how relevant old lyrics still are, right? Now, The Clash were always about calling out the ills they saw, and later groups like Rage Against the Machine and Minor Threat and so many others point directly to The Clash's sort of giving them permission to open up in a more concise and direct manner. Along with these powerful words, the music of The Clash is always fist-pumping, and you've got the voice of Joe Strummer leading into the battle. What else do you need, right? Right. I won't go on about The Clash forever, because I can. Trust me, I can. I'll just say that activism and protest within punk rock changed forever when this band showed up on the scene. And oh, you know what? One more. Rock the Casbah. Yeah, it's about music censorship and oppression. Seriously, go check it out. Okay, I'll stop about The Clash. Really, no more about The Clash. For now. Because I said there were two more performers that I was saving. And the other big one? His name is Mr. Robert Nesta Marley. His friends called him Bob.
Hey, but I'll never forget Norway. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice.
I will argue that Bob Marley was the greatest protest writer in history. Really, I actually don't think there's a very close second in this category. The track I just played is called So Much Things to Say, and it comes from his 1977 album, Exodus. The song is basically about how politicians from the beginning of time to the present have said one thing to get elected and then sold out all their supporters for money and more power. Sound familiar? Yeah, I thought so. The song has a pair of lines that I forever love. One is when he schools us all to, quote, "never forget your youth or who you are and where you stand in the struggle." Ugh, amazing lyricism there, and it's still important to this day. The other quote is a slight rephrasing of a parable when he says, "When the rain falls, it don't fall on one man's house." You can live your life by that line, people. It's so solid. I mean, it's Bob freaking Marley we're talking about here. The guy has more songs of rallying and protest than I can remember. Africa Unite, Who the Cap Fit, Crazy Bald Head, So Much Trouble in the World. And you know what? Let's even recognize the big hits you all know. One Love, People Get Ready, Get Up, Stand Up. I mean, you know what? I think there is so much to be said about Bob Marley and protest songs that I'm going to dedicate an entire episode to it. I've just decided that somewhere down the line in a couple weeks or something, because if I don't, we're going to be here forever. But there is one other moment in this catalog I have to raise right now.
Until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, Mr. War. That until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, this a war.
Yeah, war. Quite possibly the greatest single protest lyric ever. Every word of it rings true today, and it's been used to unite the disenfranchised across the world for decades. I think this week's listening assignment is just going to be this song. It's not going to be an album like we usually do. Just this one song. I want you to try to listen to it with fresh ears because most people have heard it more times than they can count. Listen closely to every word and how the thump and the bass line gives a sense of urgency and power to the song. It's a fascinating song to explore, so yeah, Bob Marley's War is going to be your Earfuel weekly listening assignment for this week. And since now I'm committed to getting deeper into the world of Bob Marley down the line, I'm going to wrap it up right here. Actually, you know what? One last track. Because whenever I think of people coming together to stand against evil and things like that, two words come to mind. Rise above.
We are tired of your abuse. Try to stop us. It's no use. Society's out of control. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Think they're smart, can't think themselves. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Laugh at us behind our back. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. I find satisfaction what they lack. Rise above, we're gonna rise above.
Black Flag giving the business right there for you, and no song in history does it to me quite like that one. The power, the almost feral attack, ugh, what a damn song. Punching the powers that be right in the teeth, the song calls out the abuse of said power, and it screams that we, the angry and disenfranchised, yeah, we're gonna take our chance and, well, you know, rise above. There's not much else I can say about this song. It's almost 40 years old, and it's still like a stick of dynamite with a 2-second fuse. It explodes and it inspires like nothing else. Whatever you're frustrated or disappointed about, just put this one on and let the power of the song get your head realigned to make some changes. Whew, okay. A lot of protest music there. And honestly, I've really only touched the tip of the iceberg. Really. There are thousands and thousands of amazing tracks out there to inspire and push for change, and they exist in every genre and every era. But music can not only focus and inspire, it can help you to vent excess emotion. I totally get that we can't all be out in the streets protesting all the time, or, you know, maybe you're one of the few people in your area that believes that things are wrong. Or maybe you're just overwhelmed by all the evil and bad stuff going on in the world right now, and you need some extra emotional outlets, or as the Rolling Stones said, an emotional rescue. Well, music is there for you. It can channel your frustrations and at the same time remind you that you are neither alone in your feelings nor wrong to feel them. We all need music to inspire and help us through the days, so hopefully you've got some new ammo for your Rebellion Tunes arsenal. Like I said, your weekly listening assignment this week is a focused exploration of Bob Marley's War. Enjoy that. Hit me up on Twitter at The Daily Guru and at Get Earfuel and let me know your favorite songs of rebellion and protest. As always, the podcast is available in the iTunes and Google Play stores under Earfuel and at GetEarfuel.com. That is your weekly Earfuel. Share and enjoy.